Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott with a new look at an old monster. Mary Shelley's gothic novel Frankenstein has long been read as a cautionary tale about the limits of technology and a warning against scientific hubris. The monster is a man-made creation run amok, seeking revenge on the scientists that harnessed electricity and brought him to life. A horror recreated many times since this 1931 film version.
It's alive!
For the first time in the U.S., a collection of journals and manuscripts from Mary Shelley are on view at the New York Public Library. Ruth Franklin, literary critic and senior editor at the New Republic, has looked through the artifacts and came away with a new prism on the Frankenstein creation myth. And she joins us on the line with more. Ruth Franklin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So there's so much more to the Frankenstein story than the hulking, moaning green monster. Give us a brief synopsis, if you would, of the tale.
Sure. Well, yes, that's the stereotype that's definitely become perpetuated by the film versions, but it's not at all accurate to the novel itself, which is, a very complicated 19th century story about science and creation. We have Victor Frankenstein, who is a young scientist who goes to school to study natural philosophy and becomes fascinated with these ancient philosophers who did alchemy and other types of transfiguration. And he mysteriously learns the secret. We're never told exactly what it is, of course, but the secret for animating life into creations. So he creates this monster. And, of course, quickly it becomes it goes beyond his control. He abandons it to roam around the countryside where it has its own adventures and, of course, comes back to wreak havoc on his own life.
And so Victor, drunk on his own knowledge and possibilities of new technologies, this was the idea that playing God backfires. That's kind of the traditional reading of the novel, correct?
Exactly, and it comes out of some of diaries and other documents that Mary Shelley wrote at the time when she was living with Percy Shelley, who would soon be her husband, and Lord Byron, and the two of them were very much engaged in this research into this kind of natural philosophy.
Right, the sort of romantic poet she was deeply, deeply influenced by. So digging into her private life, through her diaries, through the artifacts that are now on display at the public library, changed your interpretation. Tell us a little bit about her very emotional teenage years and what led you to look at her differently.
Sure. Well, what I was really struck by at the New York Public Library exhibition was I had never really put the timeline of Mary Shelley's life together with the creation and publication dates of Frankenstein. And, of course, one notices that how young she was. She was only 18 at the time the novel was written and then published only, I think, 9 months later.
Wow.
Yes, incredible. And then what's even more striking is you see all this biographical information, her first child, her second child, the deaths of these children. You realize that for much of the period that Mary Shelley was writing Frankenstein, she was actually pregnant. And then putting that together with a little note that her mother, who was, of course, Mary Wollstonecraft, mm-hmm. also a very famous philosopher of women's rights, wrote to William Godwin as she was about to give birth. She wrote, she referred to the coming baby as the animal. Mm-hmm. And this language, coupled with what we know about Frankenstein, where the creation is always referred to in non-human terms.
Right, never named.
Never named, right. That's right. Of course, he takes, like a child, he takes on the name of his father. But the idea that that somebody might think of their baby as this kind of, almost a similarly inanimate creation that just needs to have life breathed into it and then, of course, goes on to its own adventures. Well, and the juxtaposition of those texts was really what led me to this interpretation.
Ruth Franklin's with us. She's literary critic and senior editor at the New Republic. She's looked through some of the artifacts and manuscripts and writings of Mary Shelley, who wrote the novel Frankenstein, one of the most enduring and, let's say, influential novels of the 19th century anyway. She's taking a sort of second look at it. There's something that you called mind to. Shelley wrote a fascinating entry in 1815 before she started writing the book. She said, "I dreamt that my baby came to life again, that it had only been cold and that we rubbed it before the fire and it lives." Wow. I mean, certainly a painful portrait of a young mother suffering from grief, but a reflection of childbirth in the early 19th century, extremely dangerous. Many children didn't make it, and of course, like Mary Wollstonecraft, many mothers didn't.
Of course, and that's where Mary Shelley's come from. Her own mother died almost in childbirth, I think only a week or two after Mary Shelley herself was born. And I think, you know, it's just sort of part and parcel of giving birth at this time, was you didn't know whether your child was going to survive. I think Mary Shelley gave birth to around half a dozen children, five or six, and the majority of them did not live past age three.
Still, the subtitle of Frankenstein, the original story, the modern Prometheus, you know, this idea, the myth of taking over for God and giving life, you know, this God-given sort of gift. Now, we know that Shelley was influenced by the poets like her husband, Percy Bysshe Shelley and Byron. Now, Percy Bysshe Shelley apparently contributed notes in the margins. Tell us about that sort of collaboration. Do you think they were kind of representing very male or female views of the Frankenstein novel?
That's right. We can see some of his notes in the exhibition at the public library, which has a couple of pages from the original notebook in which Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. And you can see Percy's annotations in the margin. And to be honest, they're quite light, at least the pages that are on display there. So it was suggested by 19th century critics. The book was originally published anonymously, but rumor sort of spread that Mary Shelley, who is then best known as William Godwin's daughter, was really the author. And critics at the time used this to disparage her, or also to suggest that this novel couldn't possibly have been written by an 18-year-old girl, and Percy Shelley had to be the author.
Mm.
And, of course, if you look at his annotations, it shows that this wasn't remotely true. Mary Shelley wrote almost all of the story, and the things he added were things that are very kind of peculiar and quirky to his personality, such as in one of the landscape scenes where the monster is fleeing through the Alps, pursued by Victor. Shelley adds a description of Mont Blanc, which mm-hmm. was one of his touchstones. But it's little things like that. It's not, deep moments of thematic importance.
So given what you discovered and your kind of rereading of this, also containing the horror of Frankenstein, not just being about, you know, the advance of technology, the machine in the garden, so to speak, but about the personal horror and anxieties of childbirth, how do we read this book anew?
Well, you know, I think like every great novel, Frankenstein is a book that can be read over and over again at different points in one's life. And I know, speaking autobiographically for myself, the first time I read Frankenstein, I was in high school, you know, a few years younger than Mary Shelley when she wrote it. I read it again in graduate school in English. And now reading it, you know, say, I won't say exactly how many years later, but after I had the opportunity to experience pregnancy and motherhood myself, my perspective on it is inevitably changed. And that's what happens when we read these great works of literature. They're never the same twice. It's always influenced by your one's own personal experience and what you bring to these texts.
Do you have a personal favorite film, or do you think the films have all badly handled the book?
Listening to your opening clip.
With Boris Karloff.
It's alive. Yes. I'm always partial to the classics myself.
Ruth, I really want to thank you for joining us and opening our eyes in a new way to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein today.
Thank you very much, Virginia.
Ruth Franklin, a literary critic and senior editor at The New Republic. Now, you'll find a link to her article, Was Frankenstein About Childbirth?, at our human-made, electrically charged, but always friendly website, wordofmouthradio.org.